It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now we explore how to diversify the teaching profession and this persistent challenge in keeping Black teachers in the profession. This question is posed by Professor Bettina Love in the news outlet Education Week. And she asked the question, why do schools keep recruiting teachers they do not know how to retain? Join the conversation with your perspective. Ask a question, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Bettina Love is a professor in the Foundations of Education at Teachers College, Columbia University in New York. Bettina, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for having me.
Good morning. You write about how schools keep recruiting teachers they do not know how to retain. And I want to dig more deeply into that sentence. How are schools, first of all, typically recruiting Black teachers?
Well, you know, I think we recruit Black teachers out of a very need-based idea that we need you. We don't have many Black teachers, but I want to just back up a bit because yes. I think it's important to add some context because we used to have Black teachers. We used to have a plethora of Black teachers in this country. So 1940s, 1930s, we look at 17 segregated states in this country. So we're looking at Georgia and Mississippi and Louisiana. And during that time period, Black teachers made upwards to 50% of Black teachers. There's a great book by Lindsay Fernwick, and she talks about how we had Black teachers before Brown versus the Board of Education. And not only were these Black teachers large in size, they were highly educated, highly credentialed. Many of them had master's and PhDs teaching. And after Brown versus the Board of Education, we lost 90% of Black principals and almost 38,000 to 40,000 Black teachers after Brown. And so we saw a gutting of Black educators after Brown. And we haven't hit those numbers since. Black teachers have not been above 10% in almost the last 40 to 50 years. And so we used to have Black teachers in this country. And so we lost Black teachers when we integrated schools, and many Black teachers lost their jobs. And we're trying to recruit those numbers again. But when we recruit Black teachers, we don't think about the systemic racism that keeps them out of the classroom. We don't think about the systemic racism in our society. We don't think about high school graduation and trying to create a pipeline for Black teachers. We just kind of say, hey, come teach. We would love for you to come. But we don't think about all the issues and all the systems that we've created that's not actually pleasing to Black teachers. They don't really have a space to grow their profession. They don't really have any power in the classroom. They are going up against microaggressions and racism themselves in the classroom. A 2021 report found that 325 math teachers, 97 of them reported experiencing racism and anti-Blackness in the classroom. So you're trying to be a teacher that's teaching, and you're also facing racism. Hmm. So we're not really recruiting teachers thinking about the structure and the systems that they're going into, and they're trying to do this unbelievable job of being an educator, which is one of the most important positions, one of the most important professions we have in society today.
It's so interesting you say that Brown versus Board was a turning point because that decision paved the way for civil rights. You know, mm-hmm. how could schools make teaching a more attractive and sustainable career to recruit Black educators and really commit to actionable strategies that create a better climate?
Well, at first, I think you have to think about all teachers right now. Mm-hmm. I think education has become a political punching bag in our society. But when you think about just teachers in general, before we can talk about the book bans, and before we talk about the banning of AP and African-American studies, let's just take some raw numbers. Teachers in the United States make less than 20% of any other profession that has the equivalent experience in education. In some parts of this country, teachers make less than a living wage, a family living wage. And one out of five teachers have a second job in this country. So we're talking about a profession that is one of the most important professions for our democracy being so underpaid, not seen as a profession, and under attack. And so if I am an 18, 19-year-old individual off to college, I have to be asking myself, do I want to enter a profession where I'm going to make less money have to get a second job. I'm not seen as a profession, and the profession is under attack. That's for any teacher right now, any future person thinking about being an educator. That is the current landscape right now. So add race on top of that. Add, you know, that there's a wealth gap in this country. Add that Black students are taking out more student loans than any other group. So you think about just what it means to recruit. And we don't have a pipeline that says, hey, if you become a teacher, you don't have to have any student loans. If you become a teacher, you're going to be mentored in this particular type of way. If you become a teacher, you're going to have the resources and the supports that you need. We don't have a strong teacher pipeline to recruit any teachers in this country right now. Now, when we think about Black teachers, we have to be doing more for all teachers and Black teachers as well.
Bettina Love, author and professor at Teachers College, Columbia University, our guide to this discussion on how to address root causes of Black teacher shortage in this country. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We hear about the toll of being a racial minority teacher and how to transform racial climates in schools that are factoring into Black educator attrition. Call in with your questions, your thoughts about the challenges in teacher diversity now and into the future. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Bettina Love is here, professor in the Foundations of Education at Columbia University's Teacher College. Bettina, you write about Black teachers having different needs from their peers because of our country's long history of anti-Blackness. Can you give some examples of what these different needs are like?
Yes. So because we have such low numbers of Black educators, Black teachers are called on to walk into the classroom and be mentors, be counselors, be role models, be there for their students. And they do a lot of extra labor that their white teachers or counterparts don't have to do. And that's not to say that white teachers are not doing a lot too. All teachers are doing a lot in this country. But when you are a little Black girl and you haven't seen a Black teacher throughout, and here you are in third grade and you finally see a Black teacher, that Black teacher, it becomes everything to you. And that becomes a lot of pressure for a Black educator because the numbers are so low. Also, Black educators are looking at the curriculum and saying, I have to add more. This isn't our history. This is the full story. So we have to add more of this history. Black educators also need therapy and mental health to stay in the classroom. We're losing Black educators by the grove. We saw in the pandemic that Black educators were twice as likely to leave the profession. And so we have to think about what it means to be Black, to teach in schools where there are low numbers of Black teachers, and the stress of that, the commitment of that, the extra labor that that takes, because you want to be there for your Black students. You want to be a role model for them. You want to be an example for them. And that is a lot of pressure that it takes when the numbers are so low. And so we have to be creating mental health for Black teachers, and also ways in which that they can be empowered in the classroom to make decisions for their school and for their students.
I wonder what you're saying here is invisible work to some people. Black teachers and this pressure of doing so much of this extra work, if you want to call it that, but it's really important work that is being assumed by these teachers much more than white teachers who may not even realize these types of expectations. How do Black teachers grapple with that? Is that extra work being seen?
I don't think that extra work is being seen. And, you know, it's all, when it's invisible labor, you're never paid for invisible labor. So the work is not being seen and is not being paid for. But I also want to say that, you know, Black teachers have always known that this is their job. They've always walked into the classroom knowing, but they've also walked into the classroom having supportive principals, having politicians that support them, having communities that support them. So we're in a different climate now. where I'm trying to do extra work, I'm doing extra labor, and now my profession is also under attack. And so this makes it really hard to walk into the classroom and do the work that you know needs to be done when your profession is under attack.
I want to mention here something that you brought up briefly at the top, that the College Board announced it would change its advanced placement course for African American Studies, and it followed the pressure from scholars and politicians, including Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida. Mm-hmm. How are flashpoints like this over school curriculum affecting Black teachers?
It's affecting Black teachers a lot, because as a Black educator, you know what your students need to know. You know how important it is for a Black child, a queer child, to walk into the classroom and see themselves. Representation is important. When you can see yourself and you can imagine yourself as a lawyer, as a doctor, as an activist, it is important to walk into the classroom and not only see a teacher that looks like you, but see a curriculum that is reflective of you. What I say all the time is that the curriculum is more than just books. It tells you who belongs in society. Mm. That is what curriculum does. It's a very powerful tool to teach children who belong, who have made contributions, and who was worthy of democracy. And so when Black teachers don't see themselves and their students in the curriculum, it's hurtful. And it feels like you are trying to always teach upstream. You're trying to fight these huge battles when you know the importance of having curriculum where you can see yourself and you can see your students. And we know how powerful that is. Oh, we can just look at ethnic.
Bettina, thank you so much for joining us and elevating this.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Bettina Love, author and professor at Teachers College, Columbia University. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The teacher workforce here in Wisconsin is far less racially diverse than the student body. We hear from educators of color in our state and what is being done to retain Black teachers. You can join in the conversation with a question or what's on your mind at 800-642-1234. Conversation is right here at 800-642-1234. Dimitri Beekman is Executive Director of Equity and Inclusion at the State Department of Public Instruction. Dimitri, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Good morning. And we also have Damond Means, Superintendent of the Wauwatosa School District in Milwaukee County. Damond, welcome to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. I want to turn to numbers right away here. The State Department of Public Instruction says 94% of Wisconsin licensed teachers are white. 1.8% are Black. Dimitri, what could help create a sustainable pipeline for more Black educators to enter the workforce and stay?
I think potentially having some recruitment strategies to keep them, to hear their voice, to make them want to feel welcome and valued and safe within their prospective schools. I know there was an article that Bettina Love wrote that regards how do we keep our teachers within our schools. First, we have to create that culture and climate where they feel supported, safe, seen, and valued within their school districts, within their schools, intentional meetings with their principals to make sure that they are feeling, you know, supported in their work. If they are not a part of a diverse school environment, I can talk to a situation where I was a fifth grade teacher in Mequon Thiensville School District, and I was the only Black male within that school. And my principal at that time, Mary Jo Tai, would meet with me weekly after, you know, to make sure that I felt supported. I was comfortable with the curriculum, making sure that I was good as an individual, not only as an educator, but I felt welcome and valued by my colleagues. And I think if educators, if school leaders did that, teachers of color would definitely, you know, stay in their schools and would spread the news to other educators of colors to come to various schools where they know they're going to feel supported and heard. And I think being able to get out there and get into our local universities to recruit, start even at the middle and high school levels to talk about education in a positive way, because right now education isn't at the top of the list on many individuals' career paths. So really re-energizing and revitalizing education within our state.
I want to seize on Dimitri's words, demand, wanted, valued, safe, seen. How are Wauwatosa schools trying to better support Black teachers?
Well, what I would say is that we have to start by looking at this from a more broader macro perspective. And when I talk to families of color in our school system across the state of Wisconsin, our public school system, they don't feel valued. They don't feel welcomed. They don't feel a sense of belonging. When that's happening with all of our families, regardless if you're in the Fox Valley or if you're in Wauwatosa or if you're in the Madison metropolitan area, that creates a barrier to young people seeing education even as a possible career path. So we have to first make sure that the experience that young people have is one of belonging and welcoming and inclusionary when they're in our schools. In regards to what we're doing here specifically in Wauwatosa School District, we have hired a director of diversity and inclusion in our district. We've made that a priority in terms of allocating resources towards it. We have affinity groups where we are working with that that group of teachers of color. Mr. Beatman talked about his time in Mequon Thiensville. I was the superintendent there then, and I made it a priority that we diversified our faculty at the time. I made sure that I made connection with him, and I think that's what we're doing here. But I would just conclude by saying that the numbers that you cited at the beginning of this piece is really important, because we know that less than 2% of all the teachers in Wisconsin are Black teachers. And then when you look at the fact that many of those teachers work for Milwaukee Public Schools, that leaves a very small percentage of teachers available for all the other school districts in our state that are becoming increasingly diverse. And so we really need help at the state level to prioritize this as an issue.
I'm going to reintroduce you both here for a moment. Damon Means, the superintendent of Wauwatosa Public Schools. Dimitri Beekman here with the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction as we look at efforts to recruit and retain more Black teachers, teachers of color, and really hone in on diversity in districts. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Hearing at the state level, with education making up the largest portion, the largest piece of the state's biennial budget, I wonder, Dimitri, what should state lawmakers know about the needs of Black teachers in Wisconsin?
I think they need to know that this is the time for us to really make a push to support education in the state of Wisconsin. And Dr. Underlie and Governor Evers have made that really important with the budget, with the $5 million starting in 2024 for Grow Your Own programs. This will help staff already working in schools in different positions to become, you know, licensed teachers. There's also going to be a $9.4 million dollar stipend for student teachers and interns to help relieve the financial stressors of becoming a licensed teacher. So recruitment is so important, but we also need to make sure that the incredible teachers already in our classrooms feel supported and stay in our schools. The budget also is going to provide $2 million for stipends for cooperating teachers who mentor our student teachers. And I think that mentoring piece, that coaching piece is so vital, because I think 65 to 70% of educators leave in the first 2 to 3 years because of lack of being supported. So we're putting our budget where we know it needs to be to continue to enhance and to close the achievement gap that we have within our state with the highest qualified educators possible.
Damond, can you pick up on that piece of having mentors and coaches in schools, especially for new teachers of color?
I think having a mentor, having someone who can be a guide for any teacher is critical. It's even lonelier when you are a Black teacher in a school when you're by yourself, when you're alone. So I think that's really critical that we have those resources. I would just echo what Mr. Beatman said, but I would also ask legislators to be very concrete with what they can do. There's student loan forgiveness programs that they can put in place. There's UW system tuition incentives that we can create. I think there are opportunities where we can look at the open enrollment law in our state and create preferences and allowances for teachers who work in a school district to allow their students to attend our schools. I think the concept of having childcare tax breaks for teachers, especially for teachers of color, would all be things that would be very helpful and something that we should consider. The last thing I would say is some type of home or living expense for Black teachers would be helpful because the likelihood that we have to go out of state to recruit some of these teachers as we continue to grow your own programs will be a necessity.
I want to land here on microaggressions, racial microaggressions, especially from white colleagues. How can the climate change demand? How can school leaders reduce microaggressions directed at teachers?
You know, as you say that, I have a smile on my face because I face microaggressions. And just because I have a title in this organization doesn't mean that I don't face those microaggressions on a daily basis. I think that is a reality that Black people face in our nation. I think going back to your earlier question around those mentors and those coaches, it's really about how do we coach people up to handle those microaggressions in a positive way, in a way where you're not demoralized and you're not you don't feel bad about yourself or the situation. That's what we need to do. We have to build the capacity of teachers who will be in that environment and how they can persevere and deal with those microaggressions despite them being prevalent.
Dimitri, in our final seconds here, you have the last word on how to improve that racial climate and the effects of microaggressions.
I think being very intentional and strategic about having those open dialogues of culture and climate and the stereotypes and biases. We all have stereotypes. We all have biases, but we can't let our first thought be our last thought. We really have to gain a deeper understanding of our colleagues, our co-workers of color, our teachers of color, our leaders of color. And like Dr. Means mentioned, I too face microaggressions on a regular basis, but being able to educate and give that grace and mercy while correcting them with, you know, humility to say, hey, this isn't appropriate, and really correcting them in that way. Conducting an assessment, the intercultural development inventory is an assessment, an online assessment that assesses where you are on the intercultural continuum. So we have done that. We're going through that process at DPI as a consultant. There were when I worked with several school districts throughout the state of Wisconsin. Yeah,
we're out of time. Thank you both for joining us.
Okay. Thank you so much for having us.
Dimitri Beekman leads equity inclusion at the State Department of Public Instruction. Damond Means, superintendent of the Wauwatosa School District. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.